You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? This is Taylor Vipolis, and welcome to the Players Lounge, a new podcast brought to you by Inside Carolina in partnership with Heels for Life, UNC Football's NIL collective created to bring together UNC football players, fans, and businesses. I'm hosting this podcast with my guy, my former teammate, Shaquille Rashad, today, and we're joined by UNC running back, British Brooks. British, appreciate you getting on here. Me and Shaq, we like to ask the hard-hitting questions, so we want to put you on the spot early. Let's say you have the first pick in fantasy football. Are you picking Michael Carter or are you picking Javonte Williams?
That's tough. That's so tough. I got to go with Avante on this one.
Wow.
I got to go with Avante.
Wow, any reason?
Man, they both ballers, man. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's a tough one.
I'll give you the out just because I think Breece Hall gets drafted to the Jets. He might be splitting some carries with Michael Carter. Javonte Williams looks like he's going to be the guy from the get-go with the Broncos. So I think you made the right pick there. But for fans to kind of get to know you, what would you say you like to do outside of football?
Outside of football, I'm at home with the pup, man. That's me every day, just with her, training her.
Now, when you're at home, we did do a little bit of IG stalking here, and we found out about Chef Britt here. So where did you learn your way around a kitchen, and can you tell us a little about you and your passion for the kitchen?
I want to say that started with my grandma a little minute ago, just watching her cook. A lot on Sundays and just for like, you know, holidays and stuff like that. And then by my first 2 years in college, I didn't really cook until I moved off campus. And then my ex-roommate, Alex Nobles, he actually was a cook at Cookout. So he will always come home and just like cook. And then I can't just let him just show me up like that. So I had to join the party too.
What would you say your favorite meal is to cook and to both eat?
Spaghetti is always the easiest, but I've been on a chicken wing kind of thing lately. I can make some good steak. I'm just gonna go with spaghetti. Nah. I got this little sweet chili chicken wing with like the little fried green beans with a little bit of soy sauce in there, and I add like some fried rice in there with an egg.
Oh, so you're like cooking. When I say cooking, it just means me throwing stuff in an air fryer. Like you're actually like getting ingredients and cooking.
I'm cooking.
One of the things you talked about earlier, you said you didn't cook your first 2 years of school until you moved off campus. I'll tell you right now, like the thing that I miss most about college is just being able to go to the stadium and eat all the meals all the time. Like so now that you're moved, would you rather cook your meals and eat what you want to eat? Or just go up to the stadium and get your chicken breast, your salad, like the usuals?
It definitely depends, especially because, you know, cooking, it takes time. And then you got to go buy the ingredients and everything. So right now, I'll probably say I'd rather go to the stadium. Like, even on our optional days, I'm still texting in or going to the stadium to see what they got.
Yeah, I have this business idea I've been fleshing out for a couple of years where I just make a football stadium that people can go eat lunch at. And I know it's not feasible to do all that, but I'll work out the kinks and I'll let you know. So what food is there that you absolutely hate? Is there anything you look at and you say, I never want to eat that?
At the stadium or?
No, not at the stadium, not a stadium.
Oh, I was about to say.
Come on now, Rocky Top doesn't make bad food. Rocky Top doesn't miss.
I wouldn't say there's anything I just wouldn't eat. I'm picky about some stuff. I don't like mushrooms. I don't like tomatoes. Just little stuff like that.
I'm with you on tomatoes. I don't like the way they look.
I don't like mushrooms either. I tell people I'm allergic just so they definitely don't put them. If you could have dinner with any four people, they could be either dead or alive, who would they be and kind of why would you pick those people?
All right, going number one, I'm gonna say Mike Tyson number one, because he's been through a lot. He's seen a lot of things, and he's kind of like the podcast I've seen, he speaks a lot of like wisdom and stuff. Two, I gotta go with Drake. Drake just at the top right now. I mean, you can't miss with Drake. Three, I probably have to go. Probably MJ, Michael Jordan. Probably Michael Jordan. I mean, GOAT. Nah, I want to switch that. I'd rather switch for Kobe.
Okay.
Just to see where his like his mentality and stuff, his mindset. Four. Who would I go for? It's gonna be a tough one. I'll probably go Denzel for four.
Okay.
I think that's the second time we've had Denzel show up in this one here. I like that. A lot of love for Denzel. I'm a big fan. So let's shift off of food and dinner and everything. Let's go to music. Who are you listening to right now?
Right now, I mean, I've been trying to listen to the Drake album, but, you know, it's like more of a dance album right now. So
you might get laughed out of the locker room if you put that on.
Exactly. I've been listening to a lot of Lil Durk lately. A lot of Lil Durk. Probably too much, honestly.
Go ahead, Vip.
I was going to ask you, you know, we all have the guilty pleasure type music. Who is somebody that people would be surprised that British Brooks is listening to? You know, you might have those headphones on, but you're really listening to what?
Look, you can catch me at any time. That's the thing. I don't ever hide what I'm listening to. Like, I'll walk in the locker room and just playing it out loud. But, like, I listen to, like, a lot of Alina Baraz, SZA, a lot of stuff like that. A lot of, like, calming music that I like to listen to. Throwing a little bit of Willow Smith, just a couple of songs, but not too crazy.
Now, Willow Smith, are you listening to, like, Whip My Hair from when she was four? Nah, does she have new music? That's the only song I know from her.
She's been dropping some songs, but I only know, like, two that I'm, like, heavy on or something like that.
Okay.
So
that's how I know Shaq's not on TikTok, because he didn't see the Meet Me at Your Spot song.
I refuse to download the TikTok. I can't download the TikTok app. I already give Instagram and Twitter enough hours of my day. I won't do it with TikTok too. So you seem like you're a music guy. You're all over the place. So if you walk in the locker room and you have to trust one guy that you can give the aux to and is not going to get laughed off the stage, who is it? You can't say yourself either.
It's kind of tough. I can tell you one person who, like, when they get the aux, it's no. I can tell you two. Brian Anderson cannot get aux. Because he will play anything, like, crazy. Matter of fact, he's number one. Then the second one, probably, depending on the day, probably Kamar Morales.
Really?
Because he kind of got an old soul, and it's just like, it's not everybody know all these songs. Yeah, so it's just like, but Brian Anderson, he cannot get the aux.
Shaq was that guy for our team.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I wasn't even allowed to come in through the door that was near the aux. They made me come in and leave from the other side
through
of the
shower. Through the don't shower
even,
entrance.
Yeah, don't even come in from that side.
I didn't do it. I could probably say, I could probably say DJ Jones.
Okay.
He's on the aux a good bit. I mean, we allow it.
Okay. And a question I ask a lot when I'm going through Instagrams, I love tattoos. It feels like you could really tell a story through knowing somebody's tattoos. I see you have a ton. So what's the significance behind your tattoos?
I would say the significance is just like, They're family oriented, but it's like deeper within a family of what my family has been going through. Other than me, because I want to like always represent and be there for my family. So once I feel like my family's going through something, it feels like I'm going through it. So that's a lot of the reason why I get them.
Do you have a favorite one or one that has you know, extra significance to you?
Sheesh, I would probably either have to say the one I got right here, the basis, or maybe just that one.
What does that say?
Brooks, my last name.
Okay.
I probably have to say, I don't know, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. I can't choose. It's tough.
How long has it taken you to get all those? Like, did it start on your 16th birthday, or did you start when you got to college?
Nah, I think I got my first one, like, my second semester of, like, high school or something like that. I think I did this whole arm last year. Even got some during the season.
Is it a challenge to get them during the season?
Timing-wise, it is. But, I mean, like, during, like, the healing process is really not. I mean, just the timing, when you can get it. And how long it'll take to heal.
Oh, I like that. Well, yeah, I stayed away from it. I was always like, I've never had an idea long enough that I actually wanted to end up getting a tattoo. And I'm glad, because I look back at everything I've ever thought, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't get that. let's move over to one of my favorite topics, holidays. What is your favorite holiday, and why is it the best one?
I gotta go with. Probably gotta go with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is literally like the week after my birthday, so I always get my grandma to make me banana pudding. So she'll make big old tubs for my birthday, and that'll last me at least a couple of days until Thanksgiving, when I can go home and eat more banana pudding. So that's probably that's probably the best.
That's a reasonable. That's a good answer. Because my thing with my only problem when people say Thanksgiving is, at least with like my family, Thanksgiving and Christmas are same meals and everything. It almost feels like Thanksgiving is just a warm up for Christmas. It's like a dry run, and then you run it back again with the tree and with the gifts and everything. So I was always confused why people would ever say Thanksgiving, because it felt like it was just a Christmas walkthrough. I get it now, though. I have talked to more people. I'm like, all right, I get it.
I've never heard Thanksgiving described as a Christmas walkthrough.
That's all it is. It's a walkthrough for Christmas. All right, who's sitting where at the table? Who's got the remote? How are we doing the food? It's a walkthrough.
Oh, man. British, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you want to live?
Man, that's kind of hard. To start off with, I'll probably just have to say Houston. Just to start off with, the Houston area, just to start off.
Okay.
To each their own. Have you ever been to Houston, man?
I haven't.
Anywhere in the whole world? I lived there for a while. I love my time in Houston. I can't say I would go there if I got anywhere in the world.
I'm just like, I haven't explored the U.S. yet, so I'd just rather, you know, start off somewhere.
Okay.
I love it. I hope you like humidity. I hope you really like humidity.
Yeah, I heard it's crazy over there.
Break a sweat if you think about going outside. what's your favorite movie, British?
It's either Lion King. It's always a classic.
Yeah.
Or I have to go, like, I got a top three. I don't really got no favorite. These ain't in there. I had to go Lion King, Training Day with Denzel.
Yeah.
And I can do any one of the Transformers movies.
Okay.
I'm honestly a little bit surprised by the Lion King and Training Day call out of you, because like Lion King was a little bit before our time, right? That was when we were super young, and Training Day was before that. And who are you born, like 2012 or something, British?
Like 1999.
That's fair. There's guys on the team though that were born what in like
2004.
That's nuts.
That's crazy. It's
that's
crazy.
Nuts. Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, Lion King was 94. But British, say you play this year for Carolina, say you have a 10 plus year career in the NFL, what would you say you want to do after football?
Definitely help the younger generation. I always been like a helping type of person for some reason, but definitely help the younger generation, whether it's like mentoring, coaching, or just like, just being a strength coach.
Yeah. Okay. And then switching over to like more football stuff now, why did you choose Chapel Hill? Because you obviously could have gotten more playing time other places, or, you know, a guaranteed scholarship from other places? What was so special about Chapel Hill, and how'd you kind of get to that decision?
Really, a lot of it was because of AJ Blue. I grew up with him in my life, so I seen him as, like, you know, a figure in my life that I wanted to keep pursuing and try to be like him. Another one was, it was kind of just like a split decision. Like, it was really, like, crazy, because I was working out one day, and at the point, like, I didn't have, like, no offers or anything. It's my senior year, and I just really didn't know if I was going to, like, get into college, like, just off my grades or whatever. So I ended up calling, I think, like, Charlotte or something like that, and told them, I was like, yeah, like, I'll just walk on and, like, do that. And then my trainer, like, 5 minutes out of, my trainer was just sitting there looking at me. He was like, why call Charlotte when you can just call Carolina? And I was like, I mean, you're right. So I just called Carolina and just been with them ever since. So
that's really cool. I didn't know that was a story. I didn't know that was what it went into. And so things worked out, obviously. Like, you ended up in Chapel Hill. What was it like coming in? Like, I looked at your senior year stats, junior senior stats. You put up numbers. What was it like coming in and having to gain respect, not only as a freshman, but as a guy that had, like, walked onto the team? Because there are people that will be like, all right, well, he must not be anything special. Meanwhile, we're watching you play, and I'm like, what in the world? Who is this kid?
Yeah. It was kind of, I wouldn't say like a wake-up call, but it was kind of just like starting all the way over. And it's like, you're starting before you even start.
Yeah.
You're starting lower than before you even start. And it's just crazy, like, just looking back at my freshman year, just seeing, like, I really had, like, one-in-a-lifetime opportunities just to, like, one rep just to beat some dude up and get noticed, and then just keep doing it. And then that just led into things just being thrown on my plate. So,
yeah, dude, it's nuts. And then for, I think, to kind of go along with that, can you talk to us a little bit about what that process was like? Like, when you were on scholarship and when you won't? Because I think a lot of people may not know that it varies, right? Based on, like, when one's open, how that stuff all works out. Can you take us through that whole timeline, everything for you?
Yeah. Okay. So I got here June 2018. And I think that whole semester I wasn't on scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And then those were for Door. And then once Matt came in, one of our first conversations was, what can I do to, you know, get on scholarship? And I ended up getting on scholarship that spring all the way into the summer, because we had, like, some guys leaving early, some spots that opened up. And then I think once the fall came, they needed it back for other guys in the next year, maybe. So I ended up being not on scholarship for that fall. And then the next spring, I've been on scholarship ever since.
Confused. So it's two semesters to keep up with. I'm sitting here trying to track it. Carry the zero. Yeah.
When was the first moment that you felt like you belonged at the D1 level? Because I feel like coming in as a walk-on and then as a freshman, you can almost feel like there's some times when you're looking around at everybody like, these guys are a lot bigger, a lot faster, a lot stronger. Do you have that first moment where you're like, I'm just as good as anybody out here?
Oh, yeah. It was freshman year, and we was at POPs. And we was doing, like, just, like, one-on-ones versus linebackers. And I made, like, a real good move on an older linebacker. And this is how you know you get attention. When Mike or Vontae come up to you, or, like, the older guys, but, hey, how much you weigh? Like, you know, they trying to, like, get a little measurement on you. And I'm just, like, you know, I'm, like, 200, you know, whatever. But, like, I could definitely tell, like, once I did that, I was, like, yeah, this is just, like, high school, honestly. And then I was just, like, yeah. After I started going against Cole on scout team.
Yeah.
And he told me to chill out one time. And I was like, okay. I was like, all right.
That's how you know. Right.
Yeah.
What was your walk-on experience like? Because you mentioned how, you know, at first you were just getting one or two reps. It's almost like being in the NFL where one guy's getting paid $30 million and the other guy's getting paid $3 million. Like, all those reps and all that attention's going to the guy who's getting paid or the guy who's getting on scholarship. Did you ever feel different than the scholarship guys?
Oh yeah, like yeah. I can tell you it was hard because like just not getting attention, it really messes with your confidence a lot. And if you're, you know, confident in your play, and it just really messed my head up for a long time. So I just like I just can't explain it. It's hard because like when you feel like you just it's yourself against everybody else. You really don't got no backup until like Vontae and Mike just started talking to me a lot. They really kept me afloat. They really kept me going.
Now, I'm not sure if you know this since they've changed some rules since the time I was a walk-on and the time you were a walk-on, and Shaq can vouch for this. The walk-ons in our first couple of years, we weren't even allowed to eat dinner with the team. Like we just had to, we would finish practice, shower, and then they would just send us home. So you guys have it a little better, not completely better, but is it a little more appreciative knowing that you didn't have to experience the embarrassment of not even getting to eat with the team?
Nah, the crazy thing is that I did. Like, that Fedora year, it's like we couldn't eat lunch or it was something crazy. Like, we just couldn't eat lunch.
The rules are out. Yeah, go ahead, please finish.
And I'm like, it would just be embarrassing because, like, everybody else was like, you better go get lunch. And I'm like, nah, like, I'm good. Like, I'm eating some chips before the lift and before practice. I'm like, nah, I'm good. And then I think it was like my sophomore year when we changed the morning practices, so we would have to come back to get dinner. And it would be like after a lift or something like that. And Vontae, DJ Ford, they both knew that I couldn't get dinner. So they would just make me plates and just bring it to me.
Yeah, that's something consistent throughout the years, I think.
Yeah.
There's always a couple scholarship guys that are looking out for the walk-on. Yeah.
I was getting yelled at. Like, I was sitting here shuttling plates. We'll have to check the statute of limitations, see if we need to edit that out. But
plate run.
I mean,
we don't want to get in trouble by court.
we'll have to check and see if we can keep that in there. I have to edit it out. But no, it was nuts. Like, I remember being so confused. Like, how is it a rule that part of the team can't eat after practice? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. And it's like they're throwing away the food anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And in case this does stay in there, for context, everyone, this is not a UNC rule. This is an NCAA rule. Yeah, for sure. All right, so you went through all that, and then what was that feeling like when you found out the first time you were going to be on scholarship? You said it happened with Coach Brown, right?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like I was happy, but it was just like deep down I was like I knew I would get it or I knew I like deserved it. But like it was just like, all right. And I remember, like, the first time, because, like, once I got it, I didn't tell anybody. It was just, like, all right. And then, like, probably, like, 3 weeks later, I think my parents found out somehow. And they were just fussing at me about not telling them. And I'm just like, it is what it is. Like, you know, I'm just that type of person.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Through your first 2 years at Carolina, you had almost more tackles than carries. You had 10 tackles to 9 carries. Did you ever consider leaving and going somewhere you would be guaranteed a scholarship or more playing time after first getting to UNC?
I never thought about leaving. I can honestly say that.
Okay.
Like, it was just one of those times where it's just like I think I'm just going to do my time and just be done instead of just worrying about what I'm not doing.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, because just relating it to things that like me and Shaq experienced, I know when Mac Hollins walked on at UNC, he kind of gave himself like 2 years, and he was like, if I'm not on scholarship after 2 years, I'm going to transfer to a school where I can be on scholarship. And I think it was like he gave himself like a 2-year deadline, and it was like 10 days before the deadline when Fedorov pulled him into his office and was like, hey, we're gonna put you on scholarship, and obviously goes on to be an NFL draft pick. But it's interesting to hear how everybody's walk-on experience was kind of different in terms of like long-term goals or even short-term goals.
Yeah, and you mentioned a name there, Vip. It leads me right into my next point. Mac Hollins, Jeff Schottmer, Cole Holcomb, Taylor Vipulis. British, you were part of a long line of walk-ons at UNC that have gone on to contribute to the team in like massive ways, get on scholarship, become captains too, I think, all those guys. What does it feel like? Like, we all joked about it, like called it walk on you, but do you feel like, dang, like I was the next guy up? Because I look at it and I think that, Vip, correct me if I'm wrong, like I think that that's the next biggest like walk on, like huge contributor, right?
What's that?
Like British is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. British is an honorary captain on walk on
you. On walk on you.
Okay. We're going to reprint the t-shirts and make sure he gets one.
So is there honor in that, British? Is that anything you ever thought about? Like, do you wear it as a badge of honor that you walked in and then walked on and then got to a spot where you're like, I'm a captain on this team. Like, I'm one of the most respected guys on this roster now.
I would say, I feel like everybody else wears it more than I wear it.
Okay.
Like, the coaches bring it up way more than I do. Like, I probably won't ever talk about it. But the coaches is like, if you need, like, an example to look at, they always bring me up. And then they'll say, like, I mean, we was watching film the other day, and we seen, like, Cole. And then the coach brought it up how we basically had – we came in, like, doing the same thing, just walking on, being on special teams, and just, like, contributing a lot. But I would say it's definitely, an honor to just be a part of that elite group.
And as a walk-on, the quickest way to get playing time, it's often through special teams. You've been named the special teams MVP and captain for Carolina in back-to-back seasons. What does special teams mean to you? Because a lot of times I think players can kind of look at special teams as almost like an afterthought, where it's offense, defense, 1 and 2, and then special teams way further back.
Special teams means a lot. Really, like, I really started noticing probably the end of my sophomore year how much of a game changer special teams was. And then trying to get everybody on the same page. But, yeah, I mean, that's where you learn a lot. Like special teams contributes to a lot of offensive, defensive things, like kick return, turnaround blocking on punt return, just going down, making a tackle, fitting up on tackle. It just contributes a lot on offense and defense. So I think that builds confidence before you get to offense and defense.
And if you're playing on all four of them, you're playing 20, 30 snaps a game. Yeah, you're playing a lot of snaps in a game. Yeah. How would you describe your style of play in the game? either on special teams or on offense?
I don't want to sound like I'm like a loose cannon or anything, but like it's definitely, I would say I'm definitely physical for sure. But I'm like a slow type physical. I don't know how to explain it. Like I'll be like say on kickoff or something, like I'll be cooling down the field because just me being me, I know like if you're the first person down on kickoff, you're going to get blocked. I'm just going to say that now. Just cooling down the field. And then once I see like a crease or like I see where he's going, it's go right now. So I was just saying, just being physical is my type of play.
Is there anyone you look up to as you were coming into that role or maybe when you were younger that you looked up to and said, I want to play like that guy?
I would say I watched a lot of Brian Dawkins and Taylor Mays highlights, just hitting people, just destroying people. So when I got like the chance to play special teams, I was like, this is my shot. Cause I always liked defense more than offense.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's my shot to go ahead and just start taking people's heads off. So
yeah, I was going to say, I noticed that you named two safeties and I'm wondering now if you ever wanted to play on the other side of the ball.
There's been a couple colleges that tried to get me to play safety. But, like, it was just – I never really got the fundamentals down, and it's kind of too late to switch over. So, I was just like, I'd rather stay at running back.
Yeah.
What about running back? Were there any running backs that you used to watch or still watch today that you try to emulate what they're doing in their game?
That's pretty hard. Because I feel like I don't want to be anybody else. So, I just – who do I watch a lot? I watch a lot of Zeke. Dang, I was just watching highlights the other day. A lot of Zeke, a lot of LaDainian Tomlinson.
Okay.
Who's another one? Put me on the spot right here. And I could probably say, I'd probably say Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson.
Speaking of watching guys like up close and personal. We mentioned them earlier, Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. What do you feel like you learned from them getting to see them work?
A lot, honestly. Especially like just coming in with Vontae, it's like we always had, you know, our little secret talks and what he could help me with, what I could help him with. And just one thing like I learned from him was just blocking. Like one thing Vontae is gonna do, Vontae is gonna like he's gonna block. Yeah. And like his blocks are physical, like it's crazy. But on the other aspect of it, Mike just being just a vet, just showing me, telling me, like just letting me learn what a three tech is or what an overfront is, what I should do when it's a three and a five running like outside zone, and just how to see things. They really taught me a lot.
You mentioned Javonte blocking. And once you say that, I kind of think of that. I think it was the Wake Forest game where they reviewed his hit for targeting. How many times do you think you guys watched that play in the running back room or just in the Keenan Football Center?
Too many.
Too many.
Literally.
That's teach tape.
if we watch him blocking, best believe it's going to be Javonte. I say the best block like I've ever seen him make. It was like, I think it was Boston College or something like that. And it's like 5-on-5, so the lineman got five. We got anything like secondary, and it's some Mike backer just sitting in the box. And once the ball snaps, like the Mike just like shoots the gap full speed, and Javonte is just standing there. Just standing, like dude ran up on Javonte and got put on his back. Javonte didn't even move. It was crazy. I was like, there is no way that he just did that. Like, and he just got up and he just looked at him. He was just looking at him. Didn't even say anything. Just looked at him.
I remember watching that and just thinking this linebacker must have watched absolutely zero film, because if there's zero. One thing you know about Javonte Williams is don't rush him down the middle. Like, yeah, not the picking an edge is going to get you anywhere, but don't rush him down the window. You're sitting down really quickly if you do.
That's crazy to run down the middle of Javonte Williams.
I think the worst thing about getting blocked by Javonte too, British, is like what you said. Like, he's not going to say anything. It's just silent. Yeah. It's just like you're getting put on your back and you just hear silence.
He's just gonna stay like he just put you on your back and he's just gonna sit there and look at you. Like,
that's wild. And speaking of Mike and Vontae, like, your first start was in a New Year's Six bowl game against a Power Five opponent, and you went crazy. Like, you had a day. So what was it like coming into that and realizing that was going to be your first start and then preparing for it? And then what did it do for your confidence on the back end?
Oh, I can tell you, just leading up to that was kind of crazy because we played Miami right before them. And Mike had like 300 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
He came to the sideline and he was like, look, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it was like third quarter probably. And he was like, look, I'm opting out. I'm going to tell you right now. And I was just like, like, all right. I still got Vontae. Like, Vontae, you know, just being there for me. So I don't got to grow up as quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get like probably like a week and a half before we got to play. And you know, I'm just chilling. You know, I don't got a lot of weight on my shoulders. Then again, I got Vontae. And then Vontae was like, nah, I'm going to play. And then the next day, they're like, ah, Javonte just opted out. And I'm just sitting here like, what? And then, like, out of nowhere, like, you know, Coach G just calls my phone. And he's telling me. And I'm just like, I'm really the oldest in the room now. So now I really got to grow up. And I got to legit answer questions now in the meeting room probably 90% of the time. And then, like, I mean, he was on me because, like,
yeah,
we going against Texas A&M, like, number five ranked team in the nation, like, held Alabama to, like, 40-something rushing yards, something crazy. And I'm just like, I'm really about to have my first start against Texas A&M. But it really didn't hit me till like, we got out there. And it was like the first play, I got the ball. I got stopped in the backfield for like -3 or something like that. And my shoe hat came off. So I'm just sitting here like, my shoe, like, I need to come out and put my shoe back on. Because my shoes were like, I tied my shoes up crazy tight.
Right.
And I get to the sideline and he's just going in on me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. This is now, like, nah, this is legit serious. But once I like started like playing, I was like, all right, like, I'm starting to settle down. I'm starting to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you settle into the game, you realize it feels like they're all the same. Of course, the inches matter a little more, but that's cool. That's wild. I was actually going to ask if you knew any earlier than the general public did about Javonte. Cause I remember thinking like, he's probably going to opt out of this game and you get a week and a half for the game. I go like, I guess not. I guess Vontae's playing.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it caught me by like, surprised because he just told me at practice that he wasn't gonna opt out because he wasn't like, come on, Mike and Vontae wasn't practicing. They saving themselves for the game.
Yeah.
So like we doing inside and stuff. He was like, nah, like I'm gonna practice, like I'm gonna play or whatever. And I'm like, all right, bet. Then like 2 days later, like he opted out, and I'm like, oh man.
Last season, you changed your number from 34 to 24. Was there any reasoning behind that?
I had to get out that number, man. It just wasn't for me. Like,
was 34 assigned to you?
Yeah, it was. I didn't get picked.
So when you switched to 24, were there any other numbers or did you have your eyes kind of set on 24?
I think it was just because I was supposed to change mid-season, like before, like weeks before the Texas A&M game to 24 because it was just like the number is just so ugly. And I was just like, we only got like 5 games left. I might as well just go ahead and play it out. And then, but I think they already had numbers picked for the incoming class, maybe something like that. But 24 is open. I was just like, look, anything in the 20s, I'm straight. Just give me it.
You kind of going along last season too. You closed the season in a big way against NC State and South Carolina. You combined for 20 carries in those two games, 196 rushing yards. For people who aren't too good at math, that's 9.8 yards per carry, a first down every time you're touching the ball. You could argue you should have had even more carries than the 20 carries in those two games. What do you think was working so well for you?
I mean, I honestly, I don't. As a running back, it's like you got to get in your groove. And once you're in your groove, you feel like you're unstoppable, honestly. So I think, yeah, once I just got my groove, it was just like, all right, like, I'm here to play, like, you know.
You're the old guy on the block now, British. Like, this is year five for you, right?
Yeah.
So you could argue that, like, you've been there. You've seen about as much change as you could possibly see. Position coach changes, head coach changes, and flat out the entire structure of NCAA has changed. What are the biggest things that you've seen change throughout your time in college, for better or for worse?
Definitely the NIL. That's definitely the biggest thing, because when they were explaining it to us, it was like, yeah, this person could make certain amount of, you know, $1 million, and like a walk-on can make no money. And it's just like, you kind of for it, but you kind of against it at the same time. But that's been the biggest thing, because some people are out here like getting crazy, crazy deals.
It's nuts. I know. I remember you had one earlier where you were with the dog park thing.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So some of those are pretty cool. And that story, for anyone that didn't know about it, basically there's someone that has rescue dogs. Like, he has a shelter and everything. And he was like, yeah, like, I want to work with British Brooks, because he came in, he walked on. So in theory, like, he was someone that schools didn't want as much, just like these rescue dogs. And I think those are the stories a lot of people don't hear about in NIL, you know? And so those are the ones that are really cool. I don't know. I can't imagine what it's like to play during that time. So yeah, to have seen it before and played in college before and then played in it now after it and with it, I'm sure that's been kind of wild for you to experience.
Does this year feel any different to you, where you're going into training camp as the projected number one guy in comparison to other years, where you have, you know, Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, or even somebody like Ty Chandler that you know is already ahead of you?
I would say that wouldn't be like a lot of difference, because as a person, I feel like I always go hard. I always want to get my best. But there's definitely a different focus on what I need to do. I can say that.
Yeah, and that's a competitive room too. Like, a lot of really good players in there. What's it been like seeing that competition come back into the room? Not to say that it was gone in years past, but when it's you, Vontae, Mike, and there's someone else I'm forgetting, but like, you guys had a phenomenal room then. I think you've had a great room throughout, but the level of competition seems like it's heightened back up again this year in that room.
Oh yeah, for sure. Can't, because just being an old guy, you know, you got little aches and pains and stuff, and then you get a new guy who's just fresh, you know, out of high school, hasn't been hit at all, and it's just can't. You're really not trying to let them young guys show you up. So
yeah. I remember those days. Yeah, I remember talking to Cole about that. Cole's like, I'm gonna break all these weight room records. I go, if you're gonna do it in your first 2 years, bro, because once you start starting like 130 snaps a game at linebacker is going to put a toll on you, my guy.
Looking. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what they told me. It was like, you took reps, but you ain't took starter reps. So he was like, you might want to start sleeping a lot more, like, you know, getting in yoga or something like that. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. And you got to start. You almost have to, like, this for anyone listening, I don't mean this in a terrible way, but like, you have to like kind of book on Sunday mornings. Okay, I can't make plans for 2 hours before I go to the stadium because I'm going to be in the hospital getting an MRI or an X-ray. You just plan that into your week, which is probably a wild concept to a lot of people. You just allot time to go to the hospital.
British, looking at you personally, where do you think you have the most room to grow as a player? What have you been working on the most ahead of training camp?
Definitely just being a part of the pass game a lot more. I can tell you sometimes my hands are just not the best. So I've been working on that a lot, working on my route running. And overall just being in running shape, because I've never been like in the best running shape. I've always been kind of a little on the chubbier side. So I'm trying to cut weight a little bit right now to get down.
If you need to work on the hands, you got one of the best in the business on the Zoom call with you. And I don't mean me. I mean,
no.
Taylor Vipolis.
I thought he was talking about himself. Shaq has more interceptions than I had catches.
That can't be true.
Zero. But British, a lot of fans want to see the team bounce back in a big way this year. You're around the team more than, you know, anybody from the outside. why do you have optimism that this is going to be a good year for Carolina football?
I can tell you one thing, like, we compete a lot. Like, we got a lot more competitive from last year because that last game just left a sour taste in our mouth. And we got, I want to say a lot more older people, but a lot more people are maturing a lot faster than I thought they would. And I feel like that's really good for our team because I feel like everybody's so young since I'm older than everybody. So once everybody, you know, gets on the same train, we can start heading in the same direction.
I love it. Well, British, we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. And everyone listening, thank you all so much for your support. Heels for Life is here because we have the people like y'all supporting us. It allows us to do things like this. So please head on over to heelsforlife.org. That's Heels for Life with a 4. And check it out. Go learn more. Become a member if you want to. But even if you just want to learn more, go check that out because it's that support there that allows us to keep doing things like this. So appreciate you. And everyone have a good day. Woof. Talk about
thanks,
a tongue twister.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. All
righty.
Later.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.